So today we're going to be talking about power dynamics, and this all came about because I regularly go on LinkedIn and look at different posts that people put up there, and I saw this quote, and it got me thinking about what happens when you're looking at different power dynamics when you're in a difficult conversation or negotiation, and how do you handle that? How do you figure out, what to do in a certain power dynamic? And so one of the things that I started thinking of is people who are considering themselves to be the powerful one in the conversation sometimes can be difficult to deal with. And I'm anxious to hear what you guys have to say about this too, because my thought was, don't try to knock them down a peg, let them feel like they're in control. As Chris likes to say, give them that illusion of control. Let them hold on to that power. As long as you know in your mind that that's what's happening, you can still make the conversation work for you by using those labels, by using mirrors, and especially a good calibrated question that gets them to kind of pause and think about what they're doing and formulate an answer. It can calm things down on the other side without you having to attack that power dynamic, without you trying to knock them down a peg, without you trying to assert your own power, because all that's going to do is lead to you guys attacking each other. And that the whole post got me thinking, and Ken Williams, our general manager, we kind of went back and forth a little bit about this. And so I have an article that just came out this week, and it's about fear of loss and how power dynamics in a situation can affect the fear that the other side feels, perceives, whatever the case may be. And that is going to be part one of a series. So the next few articles that come out by me are going to also be addressing power. And so as far as power dynamics go and how they relate to fear of loss, what do you guys think about that? How do you feel about it? Don't all rush to answer at once.
I was trying to let Derek go first. I was trying to be deferential, but he's not going first. He's the powerful one in this conversation.
I got loud music. Sorry.
I think that you're right about the illusion of control with any conversation like that, especially. Like in our background, at least, when you've got the powerful person in the room, very often they're not used to being questioned, but they're also not necessarily used to being listened to, because when you can really listen to one of them and respectfully do labels and mirrors and things like that, where they have to defend without being questioned what they want, I think that it works a lot easier. A lot of your obstacles, a lot of the work that you shouldn't have to do that they're trying to pile on you gets, they have some self-discovery. They listen to themselves while they're answering the question, and they realize how stupid it sounds out loud when they have to explain it and walk that back a little bit.
Yeah. And the other thing is, as Sandy was talking, it sparked a thought for me, is you're going to mostly encounter those people who are of the assertive ilk. And what we're doing with them is no different than we do with anybody else. We cater to what their needs are, and their needs are to be heard and to be respected, point blank. And so I'm going to let them drive the conversation, and I'm going to, highlight certain things with use of the techniques that I want them to expound on. But don't underestimate the power of an ego label, because that's what they're looking for. They need to be, we say heard and respected. Other people say stroked. But at the end of the day, if you meet them at the level that they are and you guys just start exchanging blows, for lack of a better term, the conversation is not going to proceed as it would otherwise. So if you've got a guy or a woman that's flexing on you and trying to impose their will, being able to, in their mind, push you around is going to reduce them looking at you as a threat in the conversation, because the people that don't acquiesce for them conversationally are the people that threaten them the most. And so by not catering to that, you're allowing them to stay in an agitated and negative state, which of course, as we know, impedes their ability to process, because eventually we're going to get to talking to them about what we want. And I want to clear as much of that junk up out of their head as early as possible.
The other thing I like about it is, when you think about it, it's just like when we did the hostage negotiations. In the business world, these conversations are usually a lot longer. The meetings are a lot longer. So they're getting fatigued. They don't realize they're getting fatigued by doing all that talking. You can focus on the things that is really important. They're going to give you so much information and data that you're going to start to have, you know, the black swan. You're going to have some black swans coming out early in the conversation. I love the ego labeling. That was the first thing I wrote down as a note, was ego label. They're going to feel good about themselves, and then they're going to start wanting to pull you into the conversation more because they want to hear more of that. And as they do, they're spending a lot of their energy getting their point across. And when it's your turn to talk, you're going to be fresher.
And you will have uncovered a lot of information. I also want to kind of throw in here, when you're dealing with somebody who feels like they're in power, their biggest fear, or what they may fear, is that you're going to try and take that power away from them. So if you head in that direction, you're going to spin them up. However, if you use even an accusations audit and say, this may feel like a power play, if you have something to say that you feel may make them feel as if you're challenging them for that power, you need to go ahead and acknowledge that. Acknowledge the fear they have that they may lose power and control to you in the conversation, and that's not going to sit well with them. So an audit is always the way to go there.
And while I was listening to you guys, I thought, I reflected back on meetings that I've had, and it's very easy in a meeting, which you might not consider a negotiation, and you should, but it's very easy in a meeting when you've got a powerful person trying to impose their will upon everyone else for you to fall back into that which is comfortable, which has worked for you before maybe, which is bartering, where you say, well, why don't we try this part first and see how it goes? And it turns into this bartering situation, and you get out of your seat and stop using the skills, because what you want to do is distract them. And I think that's just not as effective. You can use the skills, and you never have to get into bartering when you label that which they're giving you. And again, let them listen to themselves when they talk about their wishes and demands, and they'll realize they're walking towards an open pit. Because half the time, somebody really powerful, if you tell them this is going to fail miserably, they double down on it because of their ego and because they don't want to lose that power.